If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. John 13:14-17. Shalom, greetings. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives, support the mission, and see the devotionals. We're 2 weeks in a row doing that now, and I'm hoping to continue to do that, Lord willing. So this week's last devotional went out in the email list and on Facebook and on the blog. So those are the three places you can currently find it. Yesterday, they go out on, the goal is to send them out on Sundays. So please go to the website, read it, make a comment. I'd love to hear from you. All right. We are resuming our study in the Dead Sea Scroll book, known as the Ancient Book of Jubilees, which you should go back and listen to the first episode if this is your first time hearing about this, where I explain the book, where it comes from, how we view it in comparison to the Bible, those type of things. We're going to be reading chapter 17 and 18, so we're going to be dealing with the expulsion of Hagar and Ishmael, and then the sacrifice, or how would you describe it, the almost sacrifice, where Abraham is instructed to take Isaac up on the mount and offer him up to God, which is a foreshadow of something that God did with his only begotten son. And so let's dig right in, because we're pressed for time this morning. So chapter 17, Ancient Book of Jubilees from the Dead Sea Scrolls. We're going to read 17 and 18. Here we go. And in the first year of the fifth week, Isaac was weaned in his jubilee, in this jubilee. And Abraham made a great banquet in the third month on the day his son Isaac was weaned. And Ishmael, the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, was before the face of Abraham, his father, in his place. And Abraham rejoiced and blessed God because he had seen his sons and had not died childless. And he remembered the words which he had spoken to him on the day on which Lot had parted from him. And he rejoiced because the Lord had given him seed upon the earth to inherit the earth. And he blessed with all his mouth the Creator of all things. And Sarah saw Ishmael playing and dancing, and Abraham rejoicing with great joy, and she became jealous of Ishmael. She said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman would not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was grievous in Abraham's sight because of his maidservant and because of his son, that he should drive them from him. And God said to Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the child and because of the bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken to her words and do them. For in Isaac shall thy name and seed be called. But as for the son of this bondwoman, I will make him a great nation, because he is of thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and placed them on the shoulder of Hagar and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the bottle was spent, and the child thirsted, and was not able to go on, and fell down. And his mother took him and cast him under an olive tree, and went and sat her down over against him at the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of my child," as she sat and wept. And an angel of God, one of the holy ones, said unto her, Why weepest thou, Hagar? Arise, take the child and hold him in thy hand, for God hath heard thy voice and hath seen the child. She opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled her bottle with the water, and she gave her child to drink. And she arose and went towards the wilderness of Paran. And the child grew and became an archer, and God was with him. And his mother took him a wife from the daughters of Egypt. And she bare him a son and called his name Nebaioth. For she said, The Lord was nigh to me when I called upon him. And it came to pass in the seventh week, in the first year thereof, in the first month of this jubilee, on the 12th of this month, there were voices in heaven regarding Abraham, that he was faithful in all that he told him, and that he loved the Lord, and that every affliction he was faithful. Alright, so let me just recap that verse real quick. So it says that it came to that pass that there was voices in heaven. So this is in heaven. The residents of heaven, I guess, angelic beings. They were talking about how amazing it was, how awesome it was that Abraham was so faithful in all that he was told to do, and that he loved the Lord, and that every, no matter what the affliction was, Abraham still remained faithful to God. And then we enter in the prince of Mestema, which is the prince of Mestema. It's Satan is who it is. And according to the notes here from Ken Johnson, that actually means devils or Satan. So we also know from other books that it was Satan who came to God. And so what we're getting ready to read is a similar situation that we had in the book of Job out of our Bible, where Job is this righteous man walking upright before the Lord, and Satan and a few other angels come before God, and Satan accuses Job, because Satan is the great accuser, and he accuses us before God day and night. And so here we go, verse 16. And the prince of Mestema came and said before God, Behold, Abraham loveth Isaac his son, and he delighteth in him above all things else. Bid him offer him as a burnt offering on the altar, and thou wilt see if he will do this command, and thou wilt know if he is faithful in everything wherein thou dost try him. And the Lord knew that Abraham was faithful in all his afflictions, for he had tried him through the country and with the famine, and he tried him with the wealth of kings, and he tried him again through his wife, when she was torn from him, and with circumcision, and he tried him through Ishmael and Hagar, his maidservant, when he sent them away, and in everything wherein he had tried him, he was found faithful, and his soul was not impotent, and he was not slow to act, for he was faithful and a lover of the Lord. And so, but another thing that's interesting is God attributes all these trials that he allowed Abraham to go to as test to see if Abraham would remain faithful. I wonder how many of these tests that I have failed. How many tests has God presented before me and I've failed? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is. But it may be that when these trials and afflictions, they come into our lives, and it's like Peter says, that, you know, it's just for a season to try your faith, and then you'll come out more faithful on the other side of it, right? And I'm paraphrasing the scripture, obviously, because it's not in front of me. But a lot of these things that we go through as Christians, you know, you have to remember, God's not interested in making us, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Happy while we're down here on planet Earth. The goal is to make us like Christ, right? The goal is to make us who he wants us to be when it's time to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we may have to go through some things. We may have some trials of our faith, stuff that doesn't seem right, some stuff that doesn't make sense. But it molds us into the person that we're going to be. And it's to make us more like Christ and to try our faith. All right, let's read chapter 18 here, dealing with this situation. So Satan, or Prince of Mestima here, here's what the footnote says. Mestima is the same given to the whole class of evil spirits or Satans. Elsewhere, it is the prince of these himself. So basically, it's the prince of the evil spirits, the prince of devils. We're dealing with Satan here. All right. Chapter 18. And God said to him, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take thy beloved son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and go into the high country and offer him on the mountains which I will point out unto thee. He rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood of the burnt offering. And he went to place on the third day. And he saw the place afar off. And he came to a well of water. And he said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad shall go yonder. And when we have worshipped, we shall come again unto you. And he took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac his son. And he took it in his hand, the fire and a knife. And they went both of them together to that place. And Isaac said to his father, Father, and he said, Here I am, my son. And he said unto him, Behold, the fire and knife and the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering, father? And he said, God will provide for himself a sheep for a burnt offering, my son. Another thing that's important to note is a lot of people assume that Isaac's like a little tiny kid. But according to the time frames given here in Jubilees, he's like in his 20s. And a lot of tradition, oral tradition and written tradition has him as being older, than what it says here. Let me see if I have any notes. Nope. I forget where I read that. But there's a couple of historical narratives where it has Isaac in his 20s, and the Book of Jasher might be one of them. The Book of Jasher, by the way, this story is even wilder in that book. Now, whether or not that it's accurate, I have no idea. But there's some podcasts that I've done somewhere out there where I cover that story from the Book of Jasher, and it's wild, this interaction with Satan and this whole thing going on with Isaac and going up on the mount. But it's very likely that Isaac was not a child, that he was a man at this point. And so even Isaac is being obedient to the situation. But he's asking, you know, where is the sacrifice? And the key words in the Bible and in these extra texts is God will provide himself a sacrifice, right? And then that becomes a literal truth. He provides himself as the sacrifice. And he provides his only begotten son as the sacrifice. This whole thing is a foreshadow of what Jesus would do for us and what God would do for us. Let's continue. And he drew near to the place of the Mount of God, and he built an altar, and he placed the wood on the altar, and bound Isaac his son, and placed him on the wood which was upon the altar, and stretched forth his hand to take the knife to slay Isaac his son. And I stood before him, and before the prince of Mestima. And the Lord said, Bid him not to lay his hand on the lad, nor do anything to him, for I have shown that he feareth the Lord. And I called to him from heaven, and said unto him, Abraham, Abraham. And he was terrified, and said, Behold, here I am. And I said unto him, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I have shown that thou fearest the Lord, and hast not withheld thy son, thy firstborn son, from me. and the prince of Mestema was put to shame. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a single ram caught by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And so, real quick, here we have the foreshadow. Instead of Isaac, there was a ram to take his place. And instead of you and I getting what we deserve, God has offered up his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died in our stead, and as our Passover lamb. And his blood was shed for us, and God provided the sacrifice. Because we're unable to bring our own sacrifice for this situation. You know, one thing I'm trying to do more of with this podcast is really push and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we're in this dark world and we need the good news of Jesus. That anybody who believes, truly believes in their heart in Jesus and confesses that with their mouth and believes that he died for our sins and that God rose him up on the third day will be saved. And that is the good news. That is the gospel. Moving forward. And Abraham called the place, "The Lord hath seen." So that it is said in the mount, "The Lord hath seen." That is Mount Sion. And the Lord called Abraham by his name a second time from heaven, as he caused us to appear to speak to him in the name of the Lord. And he said, "By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy beloved son, from me, that in blessing I shall bless thee, and in multiplying I shall multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And thy seed will inherit the cities of its enemies. And in thy seed will all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice, and have shown to all that thou art faithful unto me in all that I have said unto thee. Go in peace." And by the way, what it means when it says the whole world will be blessed by his seed is that eventually through his seed, Messiah would come. And as a result, the whole world is blessed because Messiah died for the sins of the whole world. Verse 17, "And Abraham went to his young man, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt by the well of the oath. And he celebrated this festival every year 7 days with joy, and he called it the festival of the Lord, according to the 7 days during which he went and returned in peace. And accordingly hath it been ordained and written on the heavenly tables regarding Israel and its seed, that they should observe this festival 7 days with the joy of festivals." And that is the end of 17 and 18 from the ancient book of Jubilees found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you were blessed this morning, that you've been encouraged this morning, that this story was interesting for you. But more than anything, I hope that I did the most important job, which is to point the story and to point you and your heart and your mind to the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior. Well, if you enjoy the podcast, again, don't forget about scriptureandprophecy.com. And please go and check out the devotional. I need to know that I've been getting emails from people, but I just really would like to know that the work that it takes to write these and edit these and the time that's invested is worth it, in that people enjoy them and that they're being blessed by them. So go check out this week's devotional, scriptureandprophecy.com. And again, if you want to support the podcast, you can. It's completely listener supported. You can find all that information at the website as well. All right. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.